Yeah.
I mean, where else could you take nature from people like Holly and Joni and put mud masks on your face and bananas on your eyes? Where else are your kids going to get to do that?
Because we didn't have cucumbers, but we did.
I feel like saying that meme of some of y'all never had a Ozark mud mask on your face and it shows.
And it shows.
Some of y'all never had a counselor smear mud on your face and it shows. Okay.
What happens when you combine a design-loving, big-city-living, black-clothes-wearing art history major with a culinary-teaching, small-town-living, pink toenail painting, home ec major? We'll stir in two husbands, six grown kids, pop it in the oven for 40-plus years of friendship and foolishness, and you get a big old batch of designer cornbread.
Welcome, everybody, to Designer Cornbread Podcast, episode 195.
Welcome. It's so good to see you again.
195. We're about to hit 200.
Listen, you guys, I know, because really, our year ends, or I should say our new year begins in August, because we started in mid or late August whenever we started. Yeah. So I always count that.
Yeah, we've missed a few years, so.
A few, but not very many.
A few episodes, a few weeks.
A few weeks. Not very many, though.
School is back in session.
All right, teach. I can't believe it. I'm in shock.
Well, today was the last day of in-service. We had in-service today, and then the students show up tomorrow. So.
Okay. Do they stagger start like you've done?
Yes, they do. So tomorrow the juniors and seniors will come, and then Wednesday the freshmen come, Thursday the freshmen and sophomores come, and then Friday everybody is there. Now, I was really thankful, and I'm trying to go, you know, I don't have to be in a hurry to get everything done because I don't have freshmen. And so Wednesday, you know, I'm not going to have any students, so I can get a lot done. And then Sunday night, it hit me. I am freshman sponsor.
Oh, Joni.
Means I'm going to have a freshman home room, and they are going to have to take tours of the building. They're going to have to do, I'm going to have those kids all day long.
Oops. You just sort of forgot about that. You were like, whatever, I'm free.
Forgot. Yep.
You're starting with the freshies again. Oh, my Lord.
Mm. Mm. Yes. And if I retire, when I say I'm going to retire, this will be my last class to come through.
That's what I was just thinking.
I could retire when these sophomores graduate. But I may go, I don't know. You know, there's a big difference when you have to be there and you don't have to be there. So I don't know actually when I will.
Who knows? Who knows? None of us know what is ahead to be certain. So, but that is interesting to think that this could be your last class to take through. So it's kind of wild, man.
I did. And I wondered at this last graduation that I did. Which was this past, you know, I was senior sponsor last year, and I did think that this could be my last senior class. This could be my last graduation that I have to call names out or go to prom.
That's nuts. It's about time you get out of high school, Joni. We've been telling you for years.
Well, you know what? Here's the thing. I feel like that I have been at that high school my entire life. And really, I mean, I kind of have been because my mother taught up there all my life. I mean, until she retired when I was in college. No, I'm sorry. I was out of college when she retired. Wow. So, I mean, I would go up there when I was little, when I started kindergarten, there were so many kids in kindergarten who had mothers that taught at the high school that they would bus us at the end.
Oh, they'd
of
drop
the
you there. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We'd go from the kindergarten building to the high school, and we'd hang out there until our moms were done. And
you really have, pretty much. There was just that little time period in between, you know, post college, and you know,
time she retired and I started at the high school. Yep.
That's nuts. They should name a, they should name the culinary room after you. I'm going to start a petition. Hey, Wes.
There are other ladies there that should have that culinary classroom named after them. And I actually went to the superintendent because I figured out, I believe Cheryl Cochran was, she was my, we called it foods back then when foods. I was in.
Guys, we were really creative back in the 80s.
I had foods one and foods two. And
foods, was, foods yeah, one.
Foods. And then at some point, you know.
Home hey, wait, pause, pause. So do a bunch of boys just sign up thinking it's food.
They food get to one. Eat. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Tim took, Tim took a home ec class, I think. If I'm remembering that right, I think he took one and he was pretty good. Of course, the teacher loved him. And of course, he got to do whatever. Okay, carry on. I'll have to get that story from him.
So at some point, as we, you know, progressed, home economics became a dirty word and it all had to be career focused.
Right, right. Okay. You can't just have it to actually apply to your life of forever taking care of a home and cooking meals for people for the next 30 years. You don't, you can't apply that.
We quit sewing on buttons. We quit. Yeah.
Yeah. We're not doing any of that.
No, no. So then it turned from foods to culinary arts. And so it's geared toward running a restaurant and all of that kind of stuff. Anyway, I have no idea where I was. Oh, anyway, Cheryl Cochran is the one. She was my foods teacher. And then she went on, she taught several years and she went on to be the, like the nutritionist over the district, which meant she was in charge of all the cafeterias and getting all, you know, the food ordered and all of that kind of stuff.
Yikes.
She was a really big deal.
But that is a big deal.
I realized as I was talking to somebody, what is that?
That's you. Is that you?
I don't know. It's not coming up on my stuff.
Wait a minute. We have a call from who's calling us? It's not me.
Oh, you know what? It is me. It's Caleb Shank.
Golly, Caleb, we can't even get away from these kids.
No, I know. I know.
The greatest part was how you're like, I don't know what that is. That, guys, this is our
popping up on my screen.
This is our life now. We don't know what anything is. Things beep at us. Okay, carry on. You were.
Anyway, when I looked at, so she went, when all this was evolving, when all this was changing, she went to the governor and she wrote all of this, you know, let's turn this into culinary arts. And what she did, so at that point in Hardin County, they were bringing in a nuclear facility down at Yellow Creek. And it was supposed to be much bigger than it was, but we were going to have all this influx of hotels and restaurants and all this stuff. And she said, look, we've got a bunch of students who are going to need to know how to manage all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty sure that Cheryl Cochran is the one that started like the hospitality and tourism for the state of Tennessee.
Really?
If I understand correctly, as I'm reading all this stuff, that she really is the one that got all this started in the state of Tennessee. Well, and I went to the superintendent and I said, we need to name the culinary arts class, like the Cheryl Cochran Culinary School or whatever. Mm-hmm. That's it. I mean, to me, that's a huge, never happened, but I was pulling for you, Cheryl.
You were. And now I fully will agree with you on that. If it can't be named, that the Joni Shank cornbread, we could sponsor.
No, I want
culinary arts.
Here's what I want when I retire.
Okay.
I want, or if I like, you know, die early, want a Joni Shank dumbwaiter at the press box.
Yes. You guys, that is happening. You guys, listen, when she retires, you've got 4 or 5 years here, maybe more. Wes, take a note. Start a little fun going for the honorary Joni B. Shank dumbwaiter at the press box. That I'll come to the ribbon cutting. Oh my gosh, this will be very exciting. We'll cover it.
The dumbwaiter. Yes.
It'll be a big deal, you guys.
I don't know that I'm going to do the press box. I haven't told Wes this, but I don't know.
Honey, I think you should not do it anymore. I think you should say that's it.
Well, it's y'all. Okay. So our press box, everybody knows press box is at the top of the stadium. Well, you have to go up these stairs.
The stairs of death.
Right. And then once you get to the top of the stadium. Then you go up this little rickety
black metal wood fire escape looking skinny as all get out.
Yes. Yeah.
Y'all, it's like a fire escape. And you got to go up that with all this stuff. You guys, she schleps that stuff. I mean, people help, like, but it's just kind of like you have to walk all that stuff up there. And she's bringing up hot plates and dish. I mean,
and then I have to walk it down at the end of the night.
To get it all down. It's ridiculous. If they want food, they need to A, put in the dumbwaiter, and B, you're too busy to do it now.
I don't know that my knee.
No.
I mean, I could make it up those steps one time, but I don't know that my knee's going to make the multiple. Yep.
No, I think you've got to cut something out as you've been working on your life and balance and saying no. That would be one thing you could let go. And that's just for the fall. I mean, that would help for your fall.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I just freed my Friday nights up.
You did. And that means you can come to St. Louis.
Right.
Okay. Sorry, guys. Yeah. Well, excellent. It sounds like things are getting going.
They are going.
Okay.
School year. We're embarking on it.
And everyone's fresh faced and full of optimism and
everybody keeps asking me, are you ready to go back? And I'm like, ready or not, here we go.
Yeah, I guess it doesn't matter. But you know, you've always said, and as we always say, having some routine, it can be good. Some people really thrive on that routine. And so it can be good.
Now, here is I'm going to have some teachers hate me over this.
Ooh, good.
I know, but like Sunday at church, we had the blessing of the backpacks and they pray over the students and they pray over the teachers. And I appreciate that. I do. But everybody's like, are you ready to go back? Are you ready to go back? And I'm sitting there going, I just had 2 months off that I laid in my swimming pool. You know what I'm saying? I mean,
the engineers aren't off.
The nurses aren't off.
Nurses are not off.
Doctors are not off. I mean,
garbage men are not off.
Like, we have to pray for the teachers. And I do pray for the teachers.
Of course.
Y'all need to pull those nurses up there who hold people's lives in their hands.
Seriously.
teaching is not easy. It is, there are days that I come home and I'm like, don't talk to me. I'm going straight to the bathtub.
You need to pray over the menopausal women. That we all need to be standing up. And have menopause Sunday because we need some prayer.
But it's a, it's a job.
Yeah.
It's not supposed to be, easy. And it is difficult. Everybody has difficult days, but it does drive me crazy, because I'm sitting here going, I've had 2 months off. And what? And in a couple months, I'm going to have a week off. And another month, I'm going to have 2 weeks, another week off for Thanksgiving, and then I'm going to come back for 3 weeks, and I'm going to have 2 weeks off for Christmas. Yeah. Nobody lives like that.
Right. That's true. I think, the obvious sort of difference, maybe it's just like how much, and this is true for, as you said, nurses, all kinds of other people, but like teachers are with people's kids all day long. And I think as parents, we go, that is a, Maybe they don't like their kids and they're like, hey, this teacher has to deal with little Jimmy all year long. And so I'm going to pray over her because Jimmy's a handful.
You've got behavior problems.
You do.
That, not everybody raises their kids like you do. You've got, and not only do you have one behavior problem, you've usually got, three. You've usually got, and it is, I'm not saying it's not stressful.
No, right.
You should not appreciate your teachers. I am not saying, any of that, right. Teachers are, underpaid, policemen are underpaid, mm-hmm. The policemen need to be your professional athlete level. We don't need to be paying, people who can throw a ball millions and millions of dollars.
Right. We could divvy that up a little bit.
Their life on the line every day, yeah. I mean, it's just a case of priorities, but I remember coming from the health department and a teacher crossed the hall from me it was after fall break, and she pulled me out and she said, is this just so much worse than the health department? And I thought,
which is the most ridiculous thing to say. I feel like
I thought, are you kidding me.
Do you know what the health department does?
Nobody has sat across from me and had diarrhea in their seat yet.
No, you know, it's been a good week.
It's been a great week. But I do. And you know, when you've been in education for so long, and I get it because now I've been there long enough that I'm, you know, but when she said that, I thought, are you kidding? I just had a week off that I didn't have to use my vacation time to do this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, you know, and you can't beat the time as a teacher.
Yeah.
There's a lot of downside, but there's a lot of good, especially as a mom. You've got the hours with your kids. You've got, you know, your same schedule.
Vacations. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, you're right. And I think that's just your attitude. You've been grateful. You know, you just are, yeah. Yeah, it's just your attitude of being like, this is pretty good. So. No,
and I've had a paycheck guaranteed at the end of the month mm-hmm. on the same day. And I think if you own your own business, you know, a lot of times you're hoping that people are going to pay you what they owe you.
Yeah, people pay you or you don't get paid.
You don't get paid. You're not guaranteed that paycheck. You don't have retirement. You don't have insurance. You don't have all these things. So
yeah, that's a lot to be grateful for. That's a great attitude. The beginning of the year, you know.
Yeah.
Now we'll check back in with you
in about 2 weeks. I'm going to be saying, when is fall break coming?
2 weeks, you guys. Let's give her 2 weeks. Let's take the over under on and 2 weeks.
That's the other thing. That's the other thing. When you need a break, one's coming.
Yeah. You know? Even if it's just a long weekend, sometimes y'all get like a long weekend, you know? Yeah.
When I was at the health department and I needed a break, there wasn't a break coming.
You could take a vacation or you could, you know.
That's right. That's right. You know, so anyway, I am grateful for my job and on a lot of levels.
Aww. You know,
the kids bring, you know, so much life mm-hmm. to it. And I've said, when we've talked about, you know, the transition of sending your kids off to college and how much your life changes, you know, I really didn't have to suffer through that too much because, I mean, I did with my own kids and they're not all the activity in the house, but my life didn't really change. I didn't stop going to the football games. I didn't stop.
True.
All of this.
All those kind of yearly rhythms were still there. Yeah. That's a good point.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So, anyway, so they do bring a lot of life and there's a lot of, you see a lot of hard stuff. There are kids that go through things that they should never, nobody should ever have to go through.
Mm-hmm.
And you see a lot of heartache. At the same time, though, there's a lot of joy, too. You mm-hmm. see kids who don't really have a dog's chance in life getting full rides to college. You see them succeed in, you know, in places that they didn't think they could succeed.
Mm-hmm.
And, man, that's awesome to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Even in cooking. I mean, that was one of my favorite things is I had a kid make a lasagna one time and he finished it and he looked at me, he set the whole tray down. He looked at me, he went, "Miss Shank, I never thought I could do that." You know, aww. And he did it, you know, I mean, and even as simple as that is.
No, but that's a big deal. Those little moments are what do build the self-esteem that we're all looking for. And the sense that you can do
hard things.
You can do things. You have a lot of potential and you get stretched and, you know, that's very important for people to, especially at a young age to, again, expand their capacity for that uncomfortableness and go, "Oh, but I did it." So that lasagna was very important.
And also where we don't need to rescue our children all the time. Because they need to know that they can do it.
They'll be fine.
It might be hard. It might be hard and it might be some heartache, but they've got to build that resilience and figure out. I mean, that's what creates the esteem of, you know what, that was really hard, but I did it.
I did it. And maybe not even I did it perfectly. Maybe that lasagna could have been kind of a flop. But even then, there would have been so much gained and learned, like just like, "Oh, okay. I got through that. I did that. It's not perfect, but That's fine. I mean, that was me on every math test I ever took. Fine, I'm through it. Who cares?
I passed it. I passed it.
Praise the Lord. Move on. You know,
it may have been a D, but I got through it.
Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy. But no, anyway, that's amazing. Yeah, math. I think that's amazing. Not... Yep. That reward of teaching is pretty great. So that's awesome.
It is.
Well, I'll tell you a conversation that Tim and I had this weekend. Just to show you again, this is just, you know, you think you'd be married a long time and you're like, you know, that you'd learn or your spouse would learn, and they do to a certain extent. But Tim comes in the kitchen. This is Saturday. We had a really good Saturday. We were just doing a bunch of stuff around the house. I got a couple new shelves and I cleaned up and organized. Anyway, it was just a good Saturday. But anyway, he comes into the kitchen and he says, now I try very hard to not ask you where something is that I cannot find, that I've misplaced. He says, I do try very hard to not just come and ask you because I know. And I just looked at him and I went, he says, because I know, you know, what you're going to, I said, what am I going to, I said, and anyway, he's just looking me in the eye. He's like, I try really hard, but I can't find something. And so I said, what is it? And he said, well, it's this little remote control thing for his phone. I don't know, tiny little box. And it came, and I remember it coming, and I said, I put it on your desk. And he's like, I know, I saw it, you know, whatever. I said, that's the last I've seen of it. And he's like, oh. And I looked him in the eye and I said, Tim, you know what I'm going to say. And he looked me square in the eye and he took me by the shoulders and he said, you're going to say it's in my bag. And I said, I am going to say it's in your bag. And he takes me by the shoulder. By this time, if y'all know my husband, he's a little rough. Anyway, he got me by the shoulders and he's kind of shaking me back and forth gently. I'm not being abused. Don't call anybody. And he's like, I did look. He said, I looked all through that bag. And by this time, he's just came beside himself laughing because he's no. And I said, it's in your bag. I'm just shaking. And I'm like, it's in your bag. And he's like, I looked. I turned it. I looked every pocket. I said, Tim, I said, it's always in your bag. And he was like, fine, whatever. Goes away. I don't know how many minutes later it was. I went around my business. He comes through the kitchen. His head is tipped low. I mean, his head is bowed down. He just walks up to me with his head just bowed down. And I just looked at him and I just went, it was in your bag, wasn't it, Tim? And he said, it was. He was so broken. I was like, God. Oh. It's the running joke in our marriage because I'm like, he has a backpack and he takes to work and stuff. And of course, it's got 1,000 pockets in it. It's one of those military looking, you know, it's got 1,000,000 straps and pockets. And this is even with any bag he's ever had, it's always in your bag. Have you seen the whatever? If it's something, it's in your bag. And he's always like, nope, I looked. He'll come straight look me in the face and say, no, I looked. And I'm like, well, go look again. I literally like just go look. And it sure enough, 9.99 times out of 10, it's in that dang bag. And he knew it. He knew it when he came in the kitchen.
Have you seen the meme that shows a picture? I guess it's a meme. I don't know. It shows a picture of a man standing there with the refrigerator door open. The ketchup is right in front.
Yeah.
And just says, this is my emergency contact looking for the ketchup.
Yeah. Yeah.
No.
Yep.
Yeah. Well.
And I get it. But the funny thing is, the hilarious thing is that it's literally always in that bag. Yeah. Like I looked at him and said, you know where it is, Tim. No, I looked. I'm like, but you know.
It's not in the bag.
It's not in the bag. Shake, shake, shake. I'm like, oh, good Lord. I was almost concussed. Anyway,
Mike,
it was just too much. So that's,
well, I have a couple of Ron Shank stories.
Oh, good.
I think, did I talk about the liver on here? Have I told you about the liver story?
I don't know. The liver, his liver?
No. Okay. So here's the deal.
Lord.
We buy half a cow from our friend Witt. And so you've got all this beef, but you also have liver. I cannot stand, I don't like liver.
I don't either.
I'm not going to cook it. Mm-hmm. I don't want it. Mm-mm. But Ron Schenck and my mother love liver.
Oof.
And I had something to do one night. I can't remember. And I said, this would be a good night for you to call my mother over and y'all can cook the liver. Mm-hmm. Y'all can have
it. Yeah.
And so it's a great idea. So he did. And he was making it as I was getting ready to go. And I walked in, you know, he's like, where's the flour? And I said, it's up over the, you know, up over the toaster.
My eye is literally twitching right now. I can't stop.
Yeah. So
just can't.
Anyway, so I walk in and I see, you know, he's got the liver in the Ziploc bag, big Ziploc bag full of flour. He's covered it and all that. And I look over and he's got the, you know, glass container of flour sitting out on the counter. And I said, honey, is that the flour you used? And he said, yeah. I said, well, that would be powdered sugar.
Oh my gosh, Joni. Oh no. You should have let him cook it. That would have solved his wanting liver ever again.
He said, what do I do? Can you imagine that would have just crystallized in all the oil?
Oh my gosh. Maybe it would have been invented a new recipe. Maybe it would have been good.
Actually,
I don't know.
My mother, what do I do? I said, just rinse it off.
Rinse it off.
And he was like, how did I know that was powdered sugar? And I said, could you not smell it? I mean, it's a whole nother feel from flour. Anyway,
give him sort of that one. I mean, they do look very alike, but you're right. Like once it starts, it's a totally different consistency, but he doesn't know. Okay.
My mother did say it was the best liver he'd ever cooked though.
Oh.
So maybe it still had a remnant of sweetness or something.
Maybe
on
that
it.
Little sweet, breaking it down. Now, does he do like liver and onions? Cause is that what he does or no?
Yeah, they do liver and onions.
Oh gosh. It's just not good.
He soaked it in milk first and then he coated it in powdered sugar and then mm-hmm. rinsed that off and then coated it in flour and he fried it. Anyway.
Okay.
I was out for all the cooking and the eating and the cleaning up.
Okay.
So. Mm-hmm. Anyway. But yeah, coated it in flour and powdered sugar.
That's a classic. Love it.
And then my second Ron Schenck story. Y'all, the doctor told him he had to quit eating dairy. And have I told that part on this?
Yes, you have. And we've all felt sadness for him.
He's had the complete meltdown because mm-hmm. that was that man's main food group.
Yeah, cheese and Dairy Queen, like ice cream and cheese.
Ice cream addiction.
Yeah.
So, but he's done very, very well. And he's actually lost like, 15 pounds or something. I mean, he's he had that little sneech belly going. And
the sneech is behind you.
And he's lost all of that. He's looking really good now. And so, I'm talking about
belly.
Yeah, I'm telling the story on you.
I don't like
and so
belly.
You did, but now you don't. Look, show Holly.
I don't want to see it, y'all. Oh, Lord, look, Terry, is there look. Stars on bars? All right, go away.
No more stars.
There's no stars on bars.
Yeah. And so, he's working out. He's building up muscle in his arms.
The inflammation's probably gone because of the dairy and all that.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, so little Lainey is the little girl at church and she loves Mr. Ron. Now she likes me, but she loves Mr. Ron.
Okay.
And so anyway, it was her birthday and she invited him to her birthday party.
Oh,
well, it was a swimming party and we both thought it was Saturday night. Well, I said, call Kaylee as her mom. I said, call or text Kaylee and see, you know, where it is, what time and all that. And so he did. And we found out it was Friday night.
It was when?
Friday night.
Oh, it had been Friday. Oh, shoot.
He missed her birthday party.
Oh, no.
So, but her actual birthday was on Wednesday. And so after church Wednesday, we took her to Dairy Queen. Which when she was little, she used to call it booty cream.
The girl that she would call it.
Yeah,
which is almost a, that's a better, yeah, booty cream. That's pretty good.
Ooh. I still call it booty cream. Yeah. So, mm-hmm. so after church, we took Lainey and her her cousins all to Dairy Queen and to get some ice cream. And so Lainey looks at Mr. Ron and she said, Mr. Ron, it was her 6th birthday.
Oh.
Why do you have a Dairy Queen app on your phone? And he said, well, Lainey, he said, because I love ice cream. Lainey looked over at him and rubbed his belly. And she said, that's why you look like this.
Oh, sick burn from a 6-year-old.
From a 6-year-old, yes.
Oh,
yes.
These kids are fierce, man.
Yes. I laughed. Yeah. So he.
Oh, I'm sure you got good, good laugh out of that one.
Yeah. He came home and worked out after that.
He's like, no more ice cream.
No more. That was the first ice cream he'd had in a while, though. So
I know. And he was looking better. And then she said that. She was just messing with his mind, though. She was just messing with him. Maybe. Right?
No.
Okay. 6-year-olds, man. Yeah. There's no filter. There's no filter. I have a Toad Garden update.
Oh, tell us.
Breaking news. I was out there.
Ribbit.
Okay, now I have to find a theme song for the Toad Garden update. Gah. Which will be fun. So I went out there. This was probably a week ago or so. Sometime last week. And I was doing a little bit of weeding around the edge, the little border of it, because it's rocks. There's a few weeds in it. And I pull, you know, but I was doing some weeding right there. And lo and behold, a toad was right there and jumped into the garden. It was kind of right in it, but like I was weeding. So I kind of freaked it out and it jumped further back into the garden. And he was just a little bit bigger. Remember the first one was tiny. Mm-hmm. Peepo. So I think this is Peepo just bigger because it's just a little bit bigger. And I think Peepo lives there forever now.
Peepo has grown and is living in the garden.
I think he is. You guys, he was right there. And then a cricket jumped in and all these little bugs were around. And I was like,
oh, Peepo's going to eat good in the neighborhood.
Peepo is going to eat good. I filled up his little pool because it was hotter than Hades, you know, anyway. And I was watering and doing all that. And I was so excited because he was still there. I'm pretty sure. I mean, it was enough bigger, but not like huge, you know? So I'm like, I think that's Peepo. And he's decided to live there.
You need to put a little tracker on him so you can track it like your sea turtle.
I know.
Never happened to Megan the sea turtle.
Well, your membership expires after a certain amount of time and you don't get to know any more about him.
Well, that sucks.
So we don't know. Megan the Sea Turtle. You guys, this takes you way back. This is probably the second season. I don't know. To Megan the Sea Turtle. yeah. So I don't know. I assume she's still in Cuba. That's where she was. So, but Peepo is thriving in the Toad Garden. Maybe he'll get some friends because now there's two houses, you know, Joan, there's another little house. It's so cute. So there could be like little neighbors like Frog and Toad, exactly like what I want.
Oh my gosh. Uh-huh.
So I sent the update to our family text thread and I couldn't get a picture because again, the garden did exactly what it needed to do. He went and hopped behind these little rocks that I had set all up. So he went and hid in his safe spot, you know, which is what the garden is supposed to help with. So he went and got back there. So I couldn't get a picture because I was going to send a picture on our family group chat and be like, but I just sent a alert. I just did. Toad sighting, and like all capitals. And Avery's response is just, it's happening. I'm like, it is. It's happening.
Avery will be right there with you. The boys will be like, wow.
I know. They act like they're excited. Tim said something sassy. I don't remember. No, I think they were all pretty supportive. You know, you never know. Usually they are because they all get my weird, you know. They're pretty supportive usually, but every once in a while, either it'll be Thatch or it'll be, oh my gosh, there's someone behind you.
Look who's home.
Look who's home.
John
hey,
Garrett
buddy.
Has arrived from North Carolina.
Oh, good. We need that update then. Oh my gosh. I forgot even to ask you about that.
Did not get eaten by a bar.
Oh,
so.
Thank
you. I pulled a gun on a bear.
Okay. This is, yeah, we know. All right.
Yeah.
Nobody heard that. Nobody needs to hear any more about that.
He did not have to shoot it, but it did, was coming at him.
You told that on last week's episode. You mentioned that harrowing. So he's back. So give us the update on that. Anything new with that, with him?
Well, he just actually got back today, and he came in. I had about half an hour left for lunch. I had, you know, during in-service, we get to come home. So I really have not had an update yet. And I came in from school and I got on this. So we've not had a, other than, you know, some
other
hugs,
than he's safe and
yep.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, another good, good summer. I did see a post. I should have sent it to you. I'll never be able to find it again. It was kind of a multi-page, I don't know who this person was. I think they're obviously some kind of creator, Bible, you know, something Bible, God, Christian. But it was all, it was really sweet. I should have sent it to you. It was just like, it was addressed to the kids coming back from working at a camp all summer. Like literally that's who it was for. Yeah. And it was like, for those of you who are getting finished and coming home from working at a camp all summer, and it just kind of went through, and you're getting, you know, it just was really, I'm not even making sense, but it was just like very thoughtful. I just skimmed through it, and it was kind of on multiple pages, but it was like, it kind of went through all the things of like, you know, your camp friends are not, they're not just camp friends. They're real, you know, your hours of pouring into these kids and loving these kids and, you know, all, it just sort of, you know, cause you know how that was, that decompression, it definitely is a kid, but as a kid, you're usually only there a couple weeks, but.
Except I will say this, when you tag it with camp friends, it's almost putting it in an extra special category.
For us, it is for sure. Yeah, for sure.
Here's your friends and then your camp
then there's your camp friends, which that's a whole nother level. They've seen a lot. They've seen too much. No, that's true. But I think that, you know, the point was just like,
right,
these are real. These were real friendships. It happened fast and it happened. You live far apart and, you know, but just that whole like, and then when you're in college, you know, you're coming home, you're decompressing a little bit, and then you're headed back into, and same with high school when you were a kid, you know, but you're headed back into your college atmosphere and your that world and that life, and both are good and all that. It just was a good, it was just like a, just encouragement of like the work that they've done this summer. And I don't know, it was just really, I thought, oh my gosh, that was really sweet of someone to like right now when all these counselors literally are, you know, everyone's headed home. So that was really sweet.
You know, let's address this real quick for a minute, because we are at the end of summer. Camp is over, but y'all signups for camp are like coming up in the next month.
Yeah.
This is not something to wait and think about, you know, oh, I'll wait in the spring or I'll wait for, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
I will tell you the difference that Christian camping made in my life, the difference that it's made in my children's lives is huge. And, you know, I say it over and over, the power of camp. And now I think it's even more important to get your kids away from the screens, out in nature, out in, you know, all of these things, to develop those friendships, to develop those close relationships, to deepen their relationship with the Lord, to, you know, to give them that experience. So I'm going to encourage you right now to start, you know, looking at camps. Mm-hmm. If you need some recommendations, I mean, we've got some.
Yeah, we know several. Yeah.
And, it, you know, it is, you don't have to go to the ones that we went to, mm-hmm. but we can lead you to a few different camps that you can look at. Email us, ask us, we'll do that. But now is the time to start researching that because those signups, I think at Ridgecrest, wasn't it like toward the end of August? Like
it's right now, like in the next, towards the end, towards the middle to the end of August was returning campers. They do get that. And that's, so you all know too, like that's usually how it goes, that if you're returning, because they want to give them the first dibs, yeah, you know, to come back.
Priority, yeah.
And
yeah.
then as there's room, then they do, like, I think Ridgecrest does even like a friends and family. So yeah. like if you have a, you know, a good family friend or somebody that you're recommending and their kid wants to come, they can, you know, sign up earlier or something like that. They want to be in your kid's cap, whatever it is. And then they open yeah. it up after that and fill it from there. So yeah, that's a good, you think it's too early, and that certainly wasn't how it was back in the day. I mean, I don't remember when we signed up for,
no, we did
it was
not.
Into the year. It was like in January or yeah. February. I feel like it was after the that's new year, nice. You know, you yeah. started to sign up, but maybe not. I could be making that up. Feels about right though.
I don't. Cause you know, we didn't have to deal with it. We were just like, I'm going back next year.
I'm going back. I guess mom and dad will make it happen. And they did.
And they did. So I can remember even, and it doesn't work this way anymore. Cause now it's so, they fill up so much, but mm-hmm. I can remember going for like to camp for 2 weeks and then calling toward the end of that session and saying, I want to stay another 2 weeks.
Please, please, so, please. Yeah. And
they'd let me, you know.
I didn't do it as a camper, but as a, I know as a CIT.
Yeah.
I went for two, at least two. Mm-hmm. I paid for one. I said, Mom and Dad, if you let me, I'll pay for, because you had to pay less than a camper fee, but you had to pay something. And then yeah. from there on, junior counselor on out, it was three. But I don't think as old as, yeah, I'm pretty sure I didn't, but yeah. So same kind of idea. It's just so, good
yeah,
stuff.
We are big advocators of Christian camping and highly recommend it. And but now
yeah, let your kid try it, you know, let your kid try it, you know, not every, and I know it's, and there's various different ones. There's ones that are closer to you that, you know, aren't going to cause, you know, you don't have to drive halfway across the country like some of us do, but you don't have to.
Yeah.
But there's plenty right around you, I'm sure. And let your kid try it and see the, and it can be hard, you know, again, it kind of goes along with what you were saying earlier, Joni, about, you know, and I think parents now are even, I think it's even tougher now. I really do. I know, you know, the world has the same amount of evils, you know, ancient Greece was just as corrupt and evil as we are now. People who are like, it's the worst ever. I'm like, no, not really. But
yeah.
I think parents now even have a harder time, letting their kids go off, you know, to do something like that. It can be, it can be scary as a parent, but the independence your kid will learn as well. Again, talking about that self-esteem, talking about, they'll be able to do things they've never tried before. I mean, when do you get to do archery? When do you get to do, you know, build a fire and do the, you know, some people do, but like you get to just accomplish these things. And I remember as a camper being like, oh my gosh, I didn't know I could do that. Or, you know, that was a fun thing to do. And that growth and that being away from home, you know, and if 2 weeks is too long, a lot of camps, actually Ridgecrest and Crest Ridge, have a starter camp week, where it's just like a week at the beginning of summer. So you could try that too. You know, but it's worth it. Even if they get homesick, like you know, we had one bout with one of ours that it was 1 year that he didn't want and got really bad homesick right when I was dropping him off, and it almost killed me. I mean, it broke my heart because he'd been before.
Yeah.
So like it, you know, I get that, and that's very real, and that's very, and all that stuff. And, you know, talk to the council. He was there with good friend. He was there with brother. Like it was all, but it doesn't matter. It still is a parent. Your heart just goes, oh my gosh. But you know what? He was fine.
And it passes. Yeah. And it passes. So they
came back a little bit at night, and then it passes. Yeah.
You may even get a letter of, come get me. This is terrible. And then, but that.
By the time that letter gets to you.
It is completely changed.
It's the end of the first week, and they're like, what? Yeah,
what
yeah.
What are you talking about? Why are you here? Yeah, no.
Yeah, and you can assess at the end of the, you know, obviously, and not, it's not for every kid, and there's kids that aren't going to enjoy it in the same way, and that's fine too, but it's a good thing to give it a shot.
Yeah.
I mean, where else could you take nature from people like Holly and Joni and put mud masks on your face and bananas on your eyes? Where else are your kids going to get to do that?
Because we didn't have cucumbers, but we did.
I feel like saying that meme of, some of y'all never had a Ozark mud mask on your face, and it shows.
And it shows.
Some of y'all never had a counselor smear mud on your face, and it shows. Okay.
Desperate times call for desperate measures, for sure. Hey, and I'll even say this in case we have any college kids listening. Look, after you graduate from high school, you go to college, and you come home that summer after your freshman year, and y'all, it's terrible. I mean, it's just
terrible. It can be.
Your friends are not the same, or they're mm-hmm. not there. Everybody's working. It is, you are not coming back to the same place mm-hmm. that you graduated from. Mm-hmm. It is not, you know, everything is different. You're different.
Your
friends
too.
Are different.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Hopefully.
And so, listen, I recommend to every college kid, go work at a Christian camp.
Yeah.
Go, you know, work there. You will. It'll be the time of your life.
It will be the time. Listen, and that's another good point. Again, that's not for everybody. We get it, all the things. You have to have the right temperament. You have to have the right willingness to do that kind of work and to be, you know, want to do that. So, you know, it's not for everybody. But, I mean, with all the pressure, listen, and I'm not one that's delays growing up very much, because I think a lot of times young people are held back. Like, it drives me crazy when there's like 20 something year olds and they're, you know, done something wrong and people are like, oh, they're just a kid. I'm like, no, they're not. I'm like, no, they're not. Now, I know their brain's not fully there, but they're not a kid. But what I will say is, you will never have these years. You're going to have the rest of your life to work in your profession or work at your thing. Now, I understand there's internship. I understand everyone has different things, but if, you know, you're trying to kill yourself to get an internship because you think it's going to give you this much of a thing, and it might, so don't, you know, don't come for me, parents, but like, it's just an intern. You're going to be fine. This is the only time these years you are not ever going to get back. Right. You are not ever again going to get to have a chance to spend a summer in the Blue Ridge Mountains or in the Ozarks, living in a cabin and, you know, growing and doing all these things. You're never going to have that back.
I told John Garrett last year, did an internship for a civil engineering company. And this year he was back and forth, but he said, I kind of want to go back to camp. And I just looked at him, you know, of course he's not going to make what he made at his internship. He's nope. not going to, you know, however, I said, go to camp, because this is it.
This is his last chance.
You will never get to go back.
You have the rest of your life to work. You'll be working all summer. Guess what? Most of you aren't going to have a summer off. This is it. And that's not to delay. Again, I don't want to be like, you're a kid, go have fun, you know. But it's like, this is a different kind of education. It's a different kind of job. And I think a lot of employers would look at that just fine. No matter what field you're in, all those things that you're doing are going to apply in some way, shape, or form to, you know, whatever your career is. And a lot of you are going into different, you know, especially if you're going into any kind of teaching or ministry or, you know, anything like that. It's like, those are good mm-hmm. recommendations. Those are solid recommendations. There's nothing, you know, to say you committed to do something like that and the kinds of things you did and what you taught and your responsibilities. That's pretty good. Yeah. In my book, I'd be like, those are some good life skills.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you can blob real good, all the better.
That's exactly right. Do you know Ron has never blobbed?
It shows. Some people have never been blobbed, and it shows.
I thought we need to drive up to North Carolina right now and tell them we have to blob.
Say, we just have this one. We have a problem here. He has not experienced it.
He's never blobbed.
Yeah. Yeah. We might need to make that happen. That'd be amazing, like for his 60th birthday or something.
And let Tim blob him.
Yes, Tim, and somebody can like double blob him.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, it's on. I hope we don't break him. Don't break him. Oh, my gosh. What a fun reminiscing. This just makes my heart happy. Oh, my gosh.
So, but have we talked our entire show about camp now? Because it's...
I mean, wonderful. Yeah, pretty, we did. We covered a lot of things. We covered a lot. We had Ron's stories. We had Tim's stories. We had a Toad update. We've done a lot of things, so we can go on to your recipe.
Okay. Well,
I know this was a good little catch up, y'all.
Got to bring it upstairs. So I have already posted it, actually.
Okay. The recipe. Okay, good.
All right. So let me go and pull it up on my drive here.
Okay. I can't wait.
And so a couple of weeks ago, Holly, we were talking about favorite summer foods, mm-hmm. or what foods are summer mm-hmm. to you. And you said a root beer float.
Yes.
So I found a root beer float pie.
What?
So now you can take a root beer float to your potluck, your summer potluck.
Oh, my goodness. Tell me everything.
Okay. So here's your ingredients are 22 cream-filled vanilla sandwich cookies, 1/4 cup of butter melted, 1.5 cups of heavy whipping cream. You're going to divide that. I'll tell you that in the instructions. 1/2 cup of whole milk. 1/2 cup of root beer. Do not use diet. Make sure you use.
Right. Oh, goodness.
Full on sugar.
Beer. Yeah. If you're going to do it, guys, do it.
It right.
Like, if you're going to do it, just do it.
That's right. You need a 3-ounce box of instant vanilla pudding mix, 1 1/4 teaspoon of root beer extract. Mm-hmm. Now, I did look that up because I've seen it.
Root beer.
Right. Mm-hmm. And Watkins does make it.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, I've seen it. It's not, it's not everywhere probably, but you can definitely order it.
Not one of your most popular extracts. It's not vanilla, but can't get root beer extract. 1 teaspoon of sugar. And then if you want to garnish it with a maraschino cherries, you can do that. So you are going to crush your cookies up, get a food processor is the easiest way to do that. Crush those up until it's finely ground, and then add your melted butter, combine that, and then reserve 2 tablespoons of that. You're going to put that on top of your pie.
Oh, okay. All right.
Need to reserve about 2 tablespoons. Yep. And then press your remaining crumb mixture into in the bottom and up the sides of a 9-inch pie pan. Mm-hmm. And then in a small bowl, you are going to take 1/2 cup of your cream and mix it on high until you get a stiff peak from it. And then just kind of set that to the side for a second. And then in a larger mixing bowl, beat your milk, root beer, pudding mix, and your root beer extract. Just beat it on medium mm-hmm. until it's kind of thickened up. And then you're going to fold in your whipped cream. Spread that into your prepared crust that you have. Mm-hmm. And then in another bowl, or actually the same bowl that you had your whipped cream in, you're going to beat the sugar and the remaining cup of whipped cream or cream again until you get a stiff peak. And you're going to spread that onto the pie and then sprinkle your remaining crumb mixture, refrigerate it about 8 hours or overnight. And then right before you serve it, you can put your cherries on top of it. Mm-hmm. I would not put your cherries on until you're ready to serve it, though, because they can sink down in it. Red, messy stain.
Yeah, then it'll just look like some kind of murder stab pie. Like someone's been stabbed.
I would hold off on that until you're ready to serve that. So.
That is perfect. I bet you that's really good. I bet you kids would like that. That sounds a lot like it's very, very similar to the pie I've been making the past few Christmases, the eggnog pie. It's real similar, like the whipped cream, the pudding, the folding in, and all that. So it's that good cream refrigerator pie. And I bet that root beer float would be a winner for sure.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. Thank you very much. You can make it for me when I come down.
Okay.
Okay. You ready for your top three?
Top three.
I am. Okay. So Melaleuca they've got some like Simply Fit snacks.
Ooh.
Healthy ingredients and all that, but they have a coconut cocoa and it's just, it's got some coconut, some almonds, some little mocha chips, granola. It's really, really tasty.
That sounds good over some ice cream. Oh, wait, it's a healthy snack. Never mind.
Healthy snack.
Sorry.
So Simply Fit coconut cocoa nut clusters. Mm-hmm. Right. And my next one. Well, let me just say, since we're beginning school, I have a Clever Fox teacher planner. And I usually get the Clever Fox calendars and stuff or the year planner, like for my personal stuff. Mm-hmm. But they have a teacher planner and I really like it.
Okay.
So,
but they have other ones too. Like you said, they have just regular planners.
Yeah, just regular planners. Okay. Yeah, but they do make a teacher planner. So
okay, that's nice. One.
Second one. All right. Now, in the South.
Here we go.
We deal with some stuff that y'all don't have to deal with up north because of our climate. We get a few more critters, a few more insects, a few more things that we have to deal with. Well, I kept having these fruit flies, and they were driving me crazy. I mean, I had cleaned out everything. I mean, I dug around. You know, sometimes like you get a lone potato somewhere that is, you know, I dug through everything trying to figure out.
Those are the worst because you can't until you find where they're coming from. It's like.
Yes. Well, I couldn't find anything that, you know, and then, but every time I would turn on water, you know, all these fruit flies would come up. Well, guess what? They're not fruit flies. I've researched this.
Oh, no.
They're fruit flies, but there are drain flies.
Oh, my Lord. Oh, I don't want to know about this.
And they look, I mean, they're these little bitty, natty looking things, but they are drain flies. And they get down in your drain and they, you know, they feed, especially if you've got like, you know, the
garbage disposal. They're just happy.
Garbage,
you're just feeding.
Thank you. All I can think was food processor.
If you've got that fancy food processor in the bottom of your sink.
And the bottom of your drain.
You're just processing the food for the flies.
Well, you get, I mean, as that washes down, you end up with some, you know, some biomaterial in your drains down there. So I finally researched this, figured out they were not fruit flies. They were drain flies. And found out how to take care of it, and it took care of it within a day.
Okay, because I don't even like that they're called drain flies. I don't like that name.
I know, that's disgusting, isn't it?
I don't want to think about it, but tell us how you fixed it.
Okay, it is called Invade BioDrain.
Okay.
You just pour like half a cup down your drain, and then let it sit. I do it at night. And then if you have a garbage disposal, they have a foamer. So
it'll clean all the...
Yeah, so I have a foamer that I put down in my garbage disposal. Mm-hmm. And the gel, I just pour down in the other sink. And it took care of it within a day.
That is good news. Because, man, you're right. When you can't figure out where those things are coming from, oh my gosh, drain flies, you guys. Who knew? Did y'all know about that?
Yeah, they're two different things.
Okay. Are they bigger than the little fruit flies?
No, they look just like them. They're just those tiny things. I mean, I'd set out, you know, you can make your traps out of like apple cider vinegar and all that. I'd done everything to try to get rid of them. And, you know, and I'm looking, there's no fruit. There's no anything anywhere that is causing the fruit flies.
They were just down in the drain smorgasbord.
Right. Yeah. Down in the drain.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So if you're in the South and you suddenly have all these fruit flies that you can't do anything with, they're probably drain flies.
I think that's good for all of us. We got critters that are up here too. And then someone's drained like that. There's no telling. Yeah. You're right. Or like a lake house or something and you close it up and then you come home. I do remember that reminds me, which this is terrifying and horrifying. When Thatcher lived in New York, like when you leave your apartment for a trip or whatever, you got to cover your drains.
Oh gosh.
Because roaches.
Mm. Yeah. Well, I'm out.
You got to cover, like put something on top of them. And I'm like, why don't they come out? And he never had any trouble. I don't even know if he actually did it, but he said, yeah, I forgot to cover my drain. I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, yeah, you're supposed to just cause. And I'm like, oh, and I'm like, because he didn't have a garbage disposal. And I'm like, that's because you want to know why you guys have rats and cockroach, because y'all don't have garbage disposals and your garbage just all goes out on the street. Oh God. Anyway, that nearly sent me over the edge. I was like, what are you talking about? Or no, he did the one, I think he did the kitchen, but he forgot to do the bathtub. Avery was like, did you do the bathtub? And he was like, oh no. So that almost sent me over the edge.
I'm just going to tell you, at school, we have these alien roaches. Now, I'm just going to tell you, thank God we have, because I'm doing kitchen stuff, we have, you know, pest control comes in.
Yes.
And so I don't have roaches in my classroom. But y'all, I'm walking out of the teacher workroom. And when I do, I have to pass the girls' bathroom coming out, you know, coming down the hall. And I promise you, one of these ginormous alien roaches chased me down the hall.
Oh, gosh.
I was running from it. It's just, I'm like, it's going to eat me.
I guess you got away. That's good anyway.
I did get away.
You outran the roach. Good job. She's faster than a roach.
It was moving.
I'm sure it was. And they're so skittery. Yeah. Anyway, okay. I don't know how we got on. And then the ones that fly. Oh my God, I'm totally out. I can't. Those are the ones that take me out. On the ground, I can smap the flying ones. They are just chaos. They're just evil chaos. I hate them. Okay. Anyway. Well, thank you everyone for listening, for spending another hour or so just visiting with us. Hope you had a cup of coffee, and we did. We both had our coffee and just had a good little catch up. So, I guess we'll be back next week with more exciting news, more news from Joni's work and school. And I'll keep an eye on the toad garden.
We'll have an Idaho update too. We didn't talk about Idaho.
We didn't. There's no real new update. So I promise I won't overwhelm you all. Because I know not everyone is on the case like I am. But anyway, yes, we will definitely, if there's any updates, be handling that for you as well. But until then, goodbye, Pellet.
See you, Patch.
Howdy doody.
All right, howdy doody.
I mean, I'm not calling you a doody. Sorry.
Howdy doody. This may get dicey because I'm on my old laptop.
Oh, Lord, Terry.
It's back at school. So, got to make do.
We're going to make do. Designer Cornbread Podcast needs to buy you a new computer.
I do.
We just don't. We need a sponsor. Guys, GoFundMe. Cornbread needs a computer.